I sure am glad to be back with you guys. First time I've been here in a few weeks. COVID visited my house and it wasn't much fun. We're all better and things are good. Still don't know if my memory is exactly as good as it was before. I had some bad brain fog for a few days. Couldn't think, couldn't concentrate, but hopefully we'll figure it all out. I made a few more notes than I usually do. So I can remember maybe what I want to say. We're in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Last time I was here, 3 weeks ago, we did verses 5 through 7. We talked about the fact that we are to be submissive people to one another, and we talked about how God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And we talked about all the bitter effects of pride, and pride is a root cause to a large portion of sin in our lives. A large portion of the problems that we experience is because of pride. We talked about a lot of the anxieties and worries that we carry in this life is due to pride a lot of times. We want to control everything. And pride is the exact opposite of humility. Pride is about control and humility is about submissiveness. And we talked about the fact that we need to cast our cares upon the Lord because He cares for us. We need to deposit those, we said, is what that means. And when we deposit something, we take it out of our possession and we give it to someone else, and that's what we need to do with things in our lives. Peter moves on in verse 8 and he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We will spend most of our time today talking about that verse. I believe it's a very vital verse in this world. The devil is definitely here. Sometimes we don't give him the credit that the devil deserves. And you say, the devil doesn't deserve anything. He does. The devil deserves our respect to the point that we realize he's real. And he is very, very powerful. Maybe you've heard a preacher in times past, and I've heard talk about the devil like maybe he's a wimp, and he doesn't have the ability to really do much to us, but that's a lie. Man, the devil gets a lot of people. The devil gets people that sometimes we don't think the devil could get to. I have seen people that I have known all of my life that have been so faithful. I have seen the devil get to them and I've watched them fall. There is not a person alive today that is immune to the devil. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, "Therefore to him who thinks he stands, take heed." Why? He can fall. You may think you have it all together. You may think you've got everything figured out. And you may think you've grown to the point that you can resist whatever he throws at you. But that goes back to the last few verses from last time. Pride. Sometimes our pride can cause our fall. Even, you know, if we get older in years, and like I said, we think we've got it figured out. We don't. Peter says we've got to be sober. We've got to be sober. And if you look up the word sober, and I'm going to define all of these words. The word sober means to, of course, abstain from wine would be the first line of the definition when you look it up in the Greek. Abstain from wine. Why would that be called sober? We understand that, right? If you're sober, you don't have your judgment clouded. And what does alcoholic beverage do? Well, it clouds your judgment, right? Turn and read Proverbs 23 sometime. How the wise man says that, you know, people, they drink this alcoholic beverage and then they do things and they don't remember why they did it. They don't know what's going on, and it controls their life. So if I'm going to be sober, I'm going to put things out of my life that are going to cloud my judgment. It means to abstain from wine, to be calm and collected in spirit. Peter says the devil is out there. And first and foremost, you need to recognize that. You need to have that on your mind. You need to be clear thinking, because again, the devil's powerful. And if my judgment is clouded, what happens? Well, if I'm not thinking clearly, if I'm not thinking seriously, well, the devil's there. And he knows that. The devil attacks us at our weakest points, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But he says you've got to be clear thinking. You've got to understand all of these things. He says, be vigilant. The word vigilant means to watch. It means to give strict attention to. It means to be cautious, to be active, to be awake. Paul talks a lot of times about being awake and not sleeping as Christians. And he's not talking about physical sleep. Paul is talking about we need to be aware all the time. Don't just stop watching. Don't just stop, you know, being active and alert. And he compares that to sleep. He says a lot of times we sleep and the devil comes in and he gets us because we cease to be active. He says the devil is our adversary. The word adversary literally means an opponent in a suit of law. You go to a courtroom and the devil is the opponent. The devil is the one that's trying to prosecute you. The devil is the one that is doing everything in his power to get you to be guilty and to be separated from God. That's his whole goal in life. But yet the Bible says Jesus is also a lawyer. 1 John 2 verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate. You see, this whole life is somewhat like a courtroom scene. God is the judge. Jesus is trying to defend us. Jesus is trying to help us, and the devil's over there, and he is throwing every accusation he can possibly throw at us. He's doing everything that he can do to try to get us to be found guilty on the day of judgment. And Jesus is doing everything he can possibly do to try to get us to be found innocent. And we need to understand that. There is a war going on. And if you don't feel like there is a war going on in your life on a regular basis, maybe you're not being sober or vigilant. Because I want to tell you something. If you don't feel like Satan is trying to get you from time to time, maybe he's already got you. Maybe he's already got you. If you don't ever feel anything in your life trying to pull you away, maybe he's got you right where he wants you. Maybe. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. The word devil is one who is prone to slander a false accuser. That's what his name means. He is a one that slanders and one that falsely accuses. The Bible says he is like a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion because he is fierce. He is strong. If you go to the jungle, the lion is what? He's the king of that jungle. Who is the ruler of this world? According to Ephesians 2:2 and a host of places, just the devil. He is the king of this jungle that we live in. He's the ruler of the world. He's the prince of the power of the air that we live in. I understand Jesus is the king, but his kingdom is what? It's not of this world. The devil is the ruler of this world. He's the king of this jungle. He's the roaring lion. He's powerful. Powerful. The Bible says he walketh about. Walketh about. He has restless energy. In the book of Job, the Bible says the sons of God came to present themselves before God, and also the devil came. And God asked the devil, what have you been doing? What did he say? Walking around. I'm going to and fro. What was his purpose? He works on a constant, regular basis to try to deceive people. He never stops. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't go to bed at night and you don't have to worry about him for 8 hours till he wakes. That's not the way it works. The devil walketh about. It is a continual thing. If you've got a King James, that walketh has that ETH, which means it's a continual action verb. He never stops. He never stops. He's full of energy and he's seeking. He's persistent. He's persistent in everything that he does. Again, he's not going to quit. You know, the devil tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. You remember, he tempted him in three ways. And in all those ways, Jesus used Scripture to combat the devil. And the Bible says the devil left. Well, Matthew's account doesn't say it. But Luke's account says he left until an opportune time. He didn't stop tempting Jesus. He just realized, hey, I'm not going to get him right now. But I'm going to find another time. You see, the devil's always seeking. And the devil may know that you're at a place right now in your life that is good, and, and you may be able to resist and you're fighting off temptation. But he's patient. He's patient. He's persistent. And he'll wait. He'll wait. It doesn't matter if he has to wait 5 years, 10 years. He'll wait. And he'll know. And again, we're going to talk about more of that in just a moment. The last thing it says to do is the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The word devour means to drink down or to swallow down, to gulp. Is it any wonder that this verse starts, be sober? Because if you're not sober, the devil will drink you down. You allow things to cloud your life, and alcohol would just be one of them. That's fine. You do that and it clouds your judgment, and the devil will drink you down. He can gulp you down. So as Christians, anytime we let our guard down, Satan has a foothold. Satan has a foothold. And I want us to go back, and all of us probably at time to time, we watched Animal Planet, right? Or whatever it may be. And you may like watching that big scene unfold, and you're out here on the savannah, and you maybe you see those old lions and their crouched down in the weeds, and who are they looking for? Everybody knows this, right? Who are they looking for? Well, number one person, or looking at animals, number one animal they're looking for is the one that kind of looks feeble, right? I mean, if you're going to have to chase something to get it, what do you want? Well, I want the slowest one, right? We make the joke, you know, if we're out and we encounter a bear, all I got to be is faster than you, right? And you're going to get it. Well, that's kind of the same way here. The old lion, he is looking for the sickly one. He's looking for one that's down on his luck. You know, one that's really struggling maybe right now in their life. And that's an easy target, right? Easy target. Well, we're still watching Animal Planet. And maybe that old lion sees an animal, maybe an antelope, that got lost. That got lost. You know, he just wasn't paying attention, and all of a sudden everybody else is gone, and they're over here by themselves. And again, what happens? Easy target, right? Easy target. Nobody around. Now maybe it's looking for one that's on the outskirts. You know, not that it stays right in the midst of the group, but maybe one that kind of likes to be a loner, an outcast, and he just kind of likes to hang out here. He doesn't really want to be with everybody else, but doesn't really want to be away from everybody else. Well, it's easier for that lion to get one on the outside, right? It's a lot harder for the lion to get one on the inside. Or maybe you've got the old animal that gets a little too prideful. Maybe you've seen, you know, some of those wildebeest on there, and they kind of think they're big and tough, and I can go down and get water by myself. I don't need everybody else around. I can do it on my own. I can defend myself. And what happens? That old lion might get him too. But what about in the church? What about in the church? The devil is a roaring lion. And he's trying to get us. And does he attack us when hard times hit? That's the first thing we said about the animal, right? Hard times hit. Maybe a difficulty in your life. Maybe a medical diagnosis that you don't like. Maybe a financial situation that you don't like. Just something that cuts you off at the knees and puts you down. Does the devil ever attack us then? Yeah. You see, because people react one of two ways. A lot of times, people that fall on hard times, they really, really turn to God. And they really focus on God. And they just try to do everything they can to strengthen their faith and draw closer to God. But some people react in the opposite, don't they? Some people, when hard times hit, they become rebellious. And sometimes people blame God. And sometimes people want to turn away from the people that love them most. And Satan gets them, right? Peter says, you've got to be aware of that. You've got to be sober. You've got to keep that in your mind. You're not going to be able to endure all these things by yourself. You're going to have to turn to Him. Go back to verse 7. Cast your care upon Him. He cares for you. He can get you through that. If you're in a hard time, if you're that sickly antelope out here and you can't run very fast right now, you're going to need God even more than maybe when you're strong and active, and you're going to need Him more. Well, we said, what about the one that, you know, decides that maybe he got his feelings hurt? He got his feelings hurt, and maybe he stopped coming to services. Maybe he says, you know, they didn't talk to me, or somebody didn't send me a Christmas card, and I'm just going to stop going. Those people don't love me, and I don't need them anyways. Do people do that? All the time. And what do you think Satan does when he sees that? When he sees that person that got their feelings hurt and they're not here anymore, and, oh boy, that's a prime target, right? I mean, that's easy prey. The devil's a roaring lion. And you see it on Animal Planet and you watch it and you kind of, you're amazed by it, but it's real life stuff. It's real life stuff that happens. What about these people that are on the outskirts? People that, you know, they're kind of faithful, but they're kind of not faithful. And they come part of the time, and then they don't come part of the time. And are they an easier target? Yeah. Because if you're not truly a part of the herd, what happens? Well, it's easier to drag you away. It's easier to drag you away. It's easier for you to get gone and people not notice. You ever thought about that? You know, if that one antelope, he's just kind of hanging out. He's not really staying with everybody else. He's just kind of on the outside doing his own thing. And, you know, maybe he comes around every little bit. And that old lion snatches him. Maybe it's a while before people even notice. Because he really didn't want to be a part anyway. He's just kind of somewhere in the middle. He's straddling the fence. And sometimes as Christians, that's what happens. You know, people are, you know, they're kind of faithful. And I understand there's no kind of faithful, but you guys know what I mean. And sometimes the devil gets them, and sometimes it may be a month, 2 months, before we notice, right? You ever experienced that? You ever kind of one day come in and say, wonder where old so-and-so is? I just don't think I've seen him in a while. That's happened to me a ton of times. You see, because that roaring lion got him. But it's because they didn't want to stay within the pack. What about that one that's filled with the pride that we talked about? That big wildebeest, that he goes down, I can go get my own water. I can do my own thing. You know, sometimes the devil gets us when we are successful in this life. We said the devil attacks when we are downtrodden, when we're hurting, when we're suffering, all of those things. The devil attacks. He does. But sometimes the easiest time for the devil to get us is when things are going real well in our life. Sometimes when we're very successful. Sometimes when things are just rolling right along, and man, it's just like, you know, God's just shining down on me and I feel good about everything. What happens sometimes? What happened to Israel? What God warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 8? He says, man, you're going into a good land and things are going to be well with you, and you're going to have all of these things, and be careful. Be careful. Because sometimes that's when Satan gets you. And what happened to Israel? The exact thing that God said. They were successful. They were blessed. They were just had an abundance, and the same things happen to us. Sometimes they do. Sometimes when things in my life, personally, when my life is just rolling along smooth as it can be, sometimes my faith slacks just a little bit. Because you think everything's good, right? Think everything's just great. And sometimes you stop being sober and you stop being vigilant because you think, man, things are just rolling along. And I don't have to worry about it hardly as much as normal. Well, you see, that's when he gets you. Satan is good at what he does. I heard this story many years ago. There was a man in Haiti that had a house. And this man, he had come on hard times. He was in a financial bind. And he was going to have to sell his house. And he was trying to sell his house, and he was upside down in that house. And he started asking people to buy it, and nobody would buy it. He said, you're too high. Well, finally, he come to this one guy, and he said, I'll buy it for half the price. And you probably heard this. But you've got to allow me to still own one nail
one nail inside that house, right above the front door on the inside. And if you'll let me own the property of that one nail driven in the wall on the inside of your front door, I'll give you half what you want. The guy thought about it and he thought, you know, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? You know, I'm talking about the guy sold, told the guy buying, I'll let you buy this if you'll let me have that one nail. What's the big deal? The guy buying it thought, I'm getting the whole house. And this guy only wants one nail, and he's going to, you know, allow me to buy it for this cheap price. Well, they agreed. And the guy bought the house. And the guy that used to own the house come back, and he says, hey, you remember I still own that one nail, right? And he said, yeah, I remember. So he went outside, and he got a dead dog, and he hung it on the one nail inside the house. What do you think happened next? Well, the house began to stink. And I mean, it just reeked. And the guy that bought it, he's like, man, I can't do this anymore. I can't live in the house with this kind of smell. But there was nothing that he could do about it because he had agreed to allow the guy that sold it to him to retain rights to that one nail. One nail that he thought was no big deal. And finally one day he says, I can't do it. And he come to the guy that he bought it from and he says, you can have it back. You can have it back. And so the guy that sold it, he got his house back. Plus he got money. You say, what's the moral of the story? Sometimes in our lives, we say we're selling our life to God. We're giving our life to God. But sometimes we allow Satan to have the rights to one nail. You ever thought about that? To one nail. It doesn't seem like a big deal. You know, and to the guy that was buying this house, that one nail, what's the big deal? I got a whole big house. What could one little nail do to disrupt me and my life? We see one nail does that to our lives all the time. We can say we give our lives to God. We can obey the gospel. We can come to church. But if we allow Satan to have one nail in our life, he can put a rotten, putrid carcass, if you will, in a figurative way, in our life and make us give it all up. Can he not? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Do you realize you could replace verse 27 and you could say, neither give the devil one nail in your life? Why? Same reason. Paul is saying in Ephesians 4, you've got to learn that in everything in your life, and he's just giving us an example, when it comes to anger, when you allow the sun to go down upon that, when you allow yourself to harbor these hard, ill-will feelings in your life, you give the devil access to one nail in your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He says, you clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. You say, I did that when I was baptized. Yes, you did. But if you don't continually do that in your life every day, and you're just continually filling your life with Jesus, you know what you do? He says you will give provision to the flesh to fulfill its lust. In essence, you give the devil a nail in the part of your life that God should have, and he can hang something there that can cause you to pull away from God. And I wrote down in my notes, Acts chapter 19, Don already hit on it. He stole my lesson again. Those people were converted, and they were guilty. They were guilty of practicing that magic, that evilness of the day. But you know, if they had held on to their books, they would have allowed Satan to have a nail in their life. They would have. They would have allowed that thing that they struggled with so much to get hold on them. And they couldn't do that. And that's why they burn those books. And that's why Don said this morning, if you have a problem with alcohol, get rid of all the alcohol. Don't, you know, go sit at the bar or at a restaurant to eat if you have a problem with alcohol. We've got to not give the devil a foothold in our lives. We can't give the devil that one nail in our lives because it may mean the losing of our souls. Brethren, we've got to be aware of that. We've got to be aware of that. I wrote down here, the Bible describes Satan in different ways. In Genesis chapter 3, he was a serpent who was guilty of subtlety. He was full of deceit and trickery. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, was Satan a roaring lion? No, he just come to Eve and, hey, you know, God said this, but, you know, that's not really what he means. I'll just change one word and, you know, everything's going to be okay. And God knows if you do this, you'll just be like him. It wasn't just a roaring lion. He was subtle. But he deceived anyways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, the Bible says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And here in 1 Peter 5, Satan is a roaring lion. Satan uses whatever means necessary to get us. I'll talk just a little bit about that angel of light. Just this past week, I listened to a sermon that somebody else of a denomination did, and I want to tell you something. It sounded good. It sounded good. Man, it made you feel good. And once you got done listening to it, and I do this from time to time, just it helps me. It helps me to be maybe better at what I do. But I listened to that, and I thought, man, all of that sounds so good. And you walk away, and I did. I felt better after listening to it. But then I began to think about all the things that were said, and a whole lot of them were not Bible. But they sounded good, and they felt good. And isn't that what 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 is talking about? Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Man, he will take that Bible, and he will twist that Bible. Peter talks about twisting scriptures, and we'll get to that in 2 Peter. But people do it all the time. And they sound good, and they feel good. And people by the masses are following it because people don't like sermons like we heard this morning. People don't like to talk about sin. And people don't like to be told that you need to change your life and you need to make restitution. And people don't want to hear that because it does not make them feel good. So therefore, Satan fills the heart of multitudes of people. Say, don't worry about it. Just give your life to God. Just give your life to Him. And then you don't have to worry about anything else. Now, in studying for this lesson, I was reading an article that talked about that one nail story. And in that one nail story, it was talking about all of this and says, you know, we can't give Satan a foothold in our life. Well, he can't take away your salvation anyways. But he can overtake your life, he says. And it was continually contradicting each other. Don't give Satan a foothold in your life because he might get you, but he can't get your soul. What's the point of even warning anyone? You see, that's the angel of light part. He tells lies that people believe and people buy into. And you and I have got to be on guard against that. Last thing, and I promise I'll quit. You realize Satan can only win when we fail to get up. Peter's writing this, and he's telling us to beware of Satan. Peter had to fight with Satan, didn't he? Peter failed miserably. You remember Jesus says, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Peter failed himself, but his faith didn't fail. He got back up. We're going to read at the end of 1 Peter chapter 5 about Mark, John Mark. Did John Mark make a mess in his life? Did it get so bad that Paul had to have a problem with him and tell him, I can't do anything with you anymore and you're going to have to leave. We're going to go our separate ways. John Mark made a mess. But Peter says John Mark was doing well. Doing well. Satan can only defeat you and I when we fail to get back up. That's the only time he really gains the victory. Because I promise you he's going to win a few battles. If you don't think he is, you're not giving him his due credit. He's going to win a few battles. But the day you stop getting back up is when he wins the victory. Don't ever do that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Appreciate your attention.